What is your goal by the end of this message? Here's your goal, beloved of God, is to be able to experience the harvest of the fruits in your life. I want you to experience the fruits of peace more and more in your life. That's the goal of this message. It's not, here are the 10 reasons of why you're not getting blessed. That's not the goal of this message. The goal of this message is for you to experience the fruits of joy, the fruits of peace, the fruits of patience, the fruits of gentleness, the fruits of godliness in your life. Those are what I'm aiming for. That's the goal. And it has to be consistent. Not like a yo-yo, up and down, up and down. When everything is happy dandy in your life, you feel like you're on top of the world. And then when somebody says something bad, right, you are affected. You're affected by what other people say about you. So I want the fruits that's abundant. That means I want the abundance of joy. And I want the abundance of peace. And number two, I want it to be consistent, right? Now, you may not always feel super faith all the time. You may not always feel like you're on top of Mount Everest every single second. But even in the midst of the valley, even in the midst of a challenge, amen? You can still experience the joy. You can still experience the peace. Ain't nobody, ain't nothing can steal that peace away from you. That is the goal of the message today. Do you like that, beloved of God?
Amen.
Do you like that? A consistent, abundant harvest, even though you may not always feel like it. You may not always feel like every morning, well, I'm so looking forward to go to my work, right? Or you don't always feel super faith. But something that is firm and strong about you. Can you visualize a tree? Have you seen a tree by the rivers? That's one happy tree. Because, why? A tree that has a deep root is not afraid of cold, is not afraid of drought. Bring it on. Because the rivers are always there to supply the food that I need. And the rivers here is talking about the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So if you are constantly full of the Holy Spirit, practically fanning the flame, that gift of tongues, as much as possible when you're driving, let that rivers flow out of your belly, Jesus said. That's one aspect of the river. The second aspect of that river is the Word of Christ, the Gospel. The message that you're about to hear is one example of the Gospel that you want to keep your heart well aerated. Keep your heart well watered. Amen? So that, man, whether there's heat, whether there's cold, it does not matter what circumstances in life throws at me. I'm a tree planted by the streams of living water.
Yes.
And my leaf will not wither.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And I will bear fruit in its season. I will experience that peace, that fruit of joy, that fruit of love, that fruit of godliness, that fruit of holiness, that fruit of patience, okay, in its season. Hallelujah. I will allow that to grow more and more in my life. And here, whatever I do, prosper. That's in Psalm 1, by the way. God made it easy for you to remember, right? Psalm chapter 1. Okay, if you want to know, well, I like that, Pastor. Like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Well, I did not came up with that idea. It is the psalmist already described. Blessed are those who do not walk according to the counsel of the wicked, who do not stand on a path of sinners, but his desire and his delight is in the Word of the Lord. And his delight is to meditate on the Word day and night, because he shall be like a tree that is planted by the streams of living water, whose leaf shall not wither, who shall bring the fruit in his season, and whatever he does prosper. And that is you all, the beloved of God. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen. That is for you. That is for you. That is for you. That is for you, beloved of God. Amen?
Amen.
Can you picture yourself like that tree? I'm speaking to faithful men and women of God.
Yes.
Consider yourself blessed to be in the house of God today.
Amen.
Like I said, God has something special for you today. Amen?
Amen.
So, without any further delay, Lord, we're going to... Let's bow our heads again. Let's depend on the Lord. Father, this will be a continuation of last week's sermon, Father God. And I pray that you help us to have a heart, to hear, a listening heart, undistracted by the cares, whatever's going on in our life right now. We just can tune it off. We turn down the volume, that noises, that distraction right now in Jesus' name, so that we can focus on your word. And I pray that the word will be fanned into flame by the Holy Spirit through tongues and watered by the Holy Spirit as we keep on listening and listening to the good sermons, even preached by your servant, Pastor Henry. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. So, just to recap what we talked about last Sunday, Deuteronomy 28, verse 38. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locusts shall consume it. This describes a person has a lot of appreciation for the seed, because he carries much seed. This person can describe you and I. You love the seed. What is the seed? The word.
Amen.
Right? So you carry much seed. You listen to a lot of good word, a lot of good sermons. In fact, you love to read the Bible. Read the Bible is another form of carrying seed. But look at what it says. But you gather little in. Why? The locust. Now let's look at the first locust here that the Bible had already mentioned in Joel 2:25. This is the reverse because of what Jesus has done. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. So there are four types of locusts here, right? Mentioned in Joel 2:25. The swarming locust, and here the one that I'm highlighting to you is the crawling locust. That's the first locust there. And then the third one is the consuming locust and the chewing locust. It's like almost like stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4 enemy. And they're there, the purpose of these locusts, which are not from the Lord. This is as the result of the curse of the law, right? And God has reversed it. And today, through the Word of God, beloved of God, I hope you have a listening ear so that you can handle all these locusts. Because these locusts are your enemies. They really don't want you to have more joy. They really want to steal your peace and the blessings in your family. And the first one is the crawling locust. That is the Yalek locust. That is corresponding to the first type of seed that Jesus described that fell by the roadside. The seed was stolen by the birds, right? Because the person does not understand the word. Let's look at the second one. It's called the consuming locust. The consuming locust, also called the hasil locust, corresponds to the second type of seed in the parable of the seed that Jesus taught us, where the seed fell on stony ground. It talks about a person who hears the word, but it does not have a deep root in himself. In other words, the understanding of the word is very shallow. And then when problem arise, hardship, because of the word, the person is immediately offended, the Bible says. And then the seed is burned up by the sun. It does not produce any harvest in that person's life. That's the hasil locust. Now, today, we're going to talk about the third type of locust, the swarming locust. Now, do you know why it's called swarming? Have you ever seen like a swarm of bees? The idea of swarming is that this locust will overwhelm you by the sheer number of them. Just one or two locusts is no problem, right? The swarming locust here will try to overwhelm you by its multiplying effects, by the increasing effects of this army. Now, I'm going to explain to you why this is a problem, I believe, for pretty much all Christians. It does not matter. You can be a Christian just an hour ago, you just received Christ, or you can be a Christian for 50 years. This is the locus that I want you to be very watchful about. Could it have been the harvest in your life may have been affected by this swarming locust? Could it be that the lack of peace, the lack of joy, the lack of patience, all the wonderful fruits in your life, the lack of gentleness, the lack of the fruits of righteousness and godliness, could it be there could have been this third type of locusts that have been eating away your harvest in your life? Okay, I want to know a little bit more about this third type of locusts, which I think is actually the biggest problem of these four locusts. This will be the biggest one. That's why, do you see the order of the scripture? The first one is actually the swarming locust. It does not mention crawling, consuming, and chewing. The first thing there that's mentioned is the swarming locust. Do you believe in the divine order of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You know, why do you think the Holy Spirit put the swarming locust number one there? Is to let you know, likely, that is the biggest problem for any Christian, is the swarming locust. Now, if you have been following this teaching since last week, you probably already have an inclination of what this third type of locust corresponds in the parable of the seed that Jesus had already described. Remember, the first type of locust corresponds to the first type of seed that fell by the roadside. The second type of locust corresponds to the second type of seed that fell on stony ground. Well, logically, I know where you're going, Pastor. That means the third type of this locust must correspond to the third type of seed that Jesus said in the parable that fell among thorns. And if that's your deduction, you are correct. You're on the right path. This third type of locust corresponds to the third type of seed that Jesus taught us where the seed fell. Alright? Here we go. What is arve? It means to increase. Arve in Hebrew. To increase. Remember the idea of swarming is to multiply, to increase, right? By the sheer number of this locust is going to try to overwhelm you by the sheer number. Right? So that is the Hebrew word for this type of locust called arve. The arve locust. And it means to increase. Because you have to understand from the root word, you can see the pattern of how this locust may try to attack your life. Hint, hint. They attack you by the sheer number of them. Okay? If just one or two locusts, you can just step on them and they're gone, man. You just step on them, the locusts. One locust, two locusts. But the problem is, this is an arve, right? It's an increasing, multiplying thing. This is from Mark chapter 4, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Oh my goodness. Did you see what the Bible says? No fruit. Practical application, no peace. Because peace is one of the fruit, right? One of the fruit of the Spirit. No joy. Wow, that's terrible. So, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Notice, the thorns actually can grow. You see that I highlighted there? The thorns grew. So the nature of this arve locust is it will increase, it will grow. The thorns grew and it can choke the word and it yielded no fruit. So I want to know, what are these thorns that can grow and choke the word so that I have no peace in life? I'm easily angered. I can easily depressed. I have no fruit of peace. I want to know about these thorns. I don't want to be ignorant anymore. Let's look at the thorns that Jesus gives us, the interpretation of what those thorns are. This is from Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world. Wow. So everybody see the first thorn there?
Yeah.
What's the first thorn there?
Yeah.
The cares. The cares of this world, according to the scripture. And he says, and the deceitfulness of riches. That's the second thorn, right? The deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of other things. Entering in. Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Oh Lord. I know some of you have read this passage before, but today the Holy Spirit is shedding additional light for you to see perhaps something that you have not seen before. Look at the part that I highlighted there. See, entering in? That's in the present tense. So, the cares, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust is not like something that happens one time. It keeps on entering in. Imagine yourself, you're on a boat. You have a leak here. This thing keeps on pouring in. Keeps on pouring in. You can handle, right? Just maybe a water only an ankle deep. But if you don't take care of that leak, you allow that water, that care, to keep on pouring in, it's a matter of time before you're going to be choked. Because it's going to keep on pouring in. That's the Greek word there, entering in. That is the arve locust. It's the increasing locust. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is the first thorn called the cares of this world. And the second thorn is the deceitfulness of riches. And the third one is the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Anybody wants to know the pesticides to handle the first thorn? This is thorn number one. Cares of this world. Say cares of this world.
Cares of this world.
That is the first thorn of the arve locust. And for it to be an arve locust, it has to keep on coming again and again and more and more and more and keeps on coming. Look at the pesticide that the Lord has given us. It's from Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to 36. This is the story of Jairus, and he begged Jesus to come to lay hands on his daughter because her daughter was dying. And cut long story short, there was a woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And then as Jesus was busy, right, trying to make sure the healing is thorough, make sure that the problem does not come back again. So he just want to make sure that this woman know that Jesus loving her. And then while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead. They said, why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Just believe. Say, don't be afraid, just believe.
Don't be afraid, just believe.
One more time.
Don't be afraid, just believe.
That is the word of the Lord that will be a pesticide against the cares of this world that might be entering in and entering in and entering in your life. Listen, if you were in the shoes of Jairus, there is no worse news for you than to hear someone that you love has died. It's like, oh Lord, you know, it seems like you did not care about my situation. You are so busy helping that woman with the issue of blood that you had forgotten me. Jairus' daughter was dead. It's too late. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Well, beloved of God, do you remember that beautiful hymn? It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for other people, He will do for you. He will not bless other people at your expense. Yes, He loves that woman that had the issue of blood. You may feel like you have been neglected. You may have felt like, how come other people are blessed? How come I'm still stuck in my situation? How come my situation seems to be dead, Lord? Right? But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe. There is no situation that is so dead that Jesus cannot handle. If you remember the words of Jesus, don't be afraid, just believe. Beloved of God, there will be no room for the arve locust, the thorn, to grow where it keeps on dumping the cares and cares and cares to choke your harvest in your life. If you just remember faith in your beloved Lord and Savior that says, don't be afraid, just believe. In other words, believe in Jesus. Jesus is bigger than that dead situation.
Yes.
Whatever situation in your life that seems to be dead or is dying, like Jairus' daughter was dying. She was not dead yet, but the situation was getting worse and worse and worse. And naturally, you'll be worried about that, right? Naturally, you can't help but to have this thorn of the cares of this world to also grow and try to choke you. But God says, it is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll take good care of you. It is no secret what God can do. What can you do, Lord, in this death situation? What can you do? Don't be afraid. Just believe. Man, if you have the revelation of this pesticide, where even death has no power over you because God is on your side who can raise the dead. Amen? The arve locust, the thorn of the arve locust called the cares of this world will be no match to this pesticide. I don't care how big of an army of this swarming locust,
yes,
called the arve locust, mm-hmm, trying to multiply themselves to intimidate me by the sheer numbers, from the smallest cares of your life to the biggest cares of your life, God cares about you.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Can you hear the heart of your loving Savior Jesus to say, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Just believe. From the smallest cares to the biggest cares of your life, God will take good care of you.
Yes.
Your part is, don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. So, beloved of God, when you see the swarming army of the arve locust trying to choke the seed of your word, well, you haven't taken care of that. Oh, you haven't done this. You haven't done that. The cares, they're not sin. Hey, I need to be a responsible parent here, right? I want to make sure all the bills are paid, right? That's a good thing, right? But when it becomes like a swarming army to create cares in your life, how am I going to pay that bill? Or how am I going to deal with this symptom that seems to be nagging again and again, right? How am I going to handle this problem? God says, don't be afraid. Just believe.
Yes.
Right? If it's a care for you, it's a care for God.
Yes.
Nothing's too small. Nothing's too big for Him. Because He loves you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because Jesus loves you.
Yes.
And He wants you to have faith in Him. And say, Lord, I will not be afraid. I just believe in You.
Yes. Amen.
Amen, beloved of God. Do you see how I purposefully not moving to the next,
yes.
next? Because every one of us is susceptible, vulnerable to worries and the cares of life.
Yes.
Even during the anointing session just now at the start of the service, there was the anointing to break the yokes of worries and cares, remember? Right?
Yeah.
That's part of the arsenal that God has for us to break the thorn, the first thorn of the Arve locust in our lives. So say it with me. Don't be afraid, just believe.
Don't be afraid, just believe.
Amen. Don't be afraid, just believe. And these are the words of Jesus. Right? Don't be afraid, just believe. Say it in your heart. You know, don't be afraid, just believe. When you're tempted to be stressed about that situation, just allow the Holy Spirit to remind in your heart, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Amen?
Amen.
And remember, the Arve locust will try to overwhelm you with the sheer number of them. Oh, okay, you're not worried about me? I'm going to bring another one. Some of you may not have problems with money, okay? Because some of you are blessed, you know, financially. But perhaps there are other areas of your life that you are more prone to worry about. Now, the Arve locust is going to say, okay, that's not your problem. I'm going to bring this problem for you to worry about. So by the sheer number of these things. So in other words, beloved of God, you need to be just as persistent as the Arve locust that may try to come and attack and try to choke the word. No matter how many of them, keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, you're not going to steal my joy. You're not going to steal my peace. Don't be afraid, oh my soul. Just believe in Jesus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Amen. And where's that verse again? It's Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to verse 36. Amen, beloved of God. Are you blessed? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I feel like people are equipped. They are encouraged to know that even when the situation seems to be as good as dead, like Jairus' daughter, it's never too late for God. Right? As long as you don't give up. As long as you don't give up. Right? Now, let me ask you this question. What if Jairus got offended with Jesus? Right? What if Jairus is overwhelmed by the news that the daughter had died? That is the focus, is the death of his beloved one. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in his shoes here, okay? Here's a person who might be offended, because this scenario can go the other way. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Jairus, your daughter is dead. But I like Jesus. The Bible says this, immediately, as soon as Jesus heard the word, he reminded Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. So beloved of God, there's a lesson learned here. Mm-hmm. Don't allow the bad news to sit and simmer for a long, long time. You have to apply the pesticide immediately.
Yes.
Oh, that's from the Holy Spirit. I did not plan to say that. Mm. I just learned something here. Did you hear that? When you hear a bad news, mm-hmm. you need to apply the pesticide immediately. Not later tonight when I spend my prayer time with God. That kind of thing. Immediately, you need to guard your heart like Jesus did. As soon as Jesus heard that word, he said, don't be afraid. Just believe. That is the key for you to handle, all right, the cares of this world. I don't care what it is, what kind of news that trouble you. Divorce, a death of a loved one, cancer, whatever it is that seems to be a death sentence. Don't let that news to occupy your mind for 24 hours without applying the pesticides immediately.
Yes.
You've got to take care of that immediately. Mm-hmm. By remembering what Jesus said, or say it in your heart immediately. Yes. Don't be afraid. Just believe.
Yes.
That was the key for Jairus not to be offended at Jesus. Because guess what? If he did not apply the pesticide immediately, he would probably be tempted with thoughts, Jesus, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Thank you for your time, Jesus. Thank you for your good intention to try to help my daughter. But never mind. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to bother you. Because deep down in his heart, he was offended. You helped that lady that had that bleeding issue. Jesus, you could... Lord, I came to you first. This lady came later. Right? I've been praying and praying this for a long time, Lord. And here comes this person who just knew, just accepted Christ a week ago. And you heal her first before you heal my daughter. I'm not going to bother you, Lord. That could easily be the scenario here. If we do not apply the pesticide as soon as possible.
Yes.
Do you hear that, beloved of God? Right? Whenever you hear something that is bad, immediately allow the word of Jesus to uproot that thorn, that weed.
Yes.
Immediately. Don't wait for 24 hours. Don't be afraid, oh my soul. Just believe in Jesus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Amen, beloved of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That was really, really good, beloved of God. I've seen something that I did not see before. The timing is very important. The moment you hear something bad, whether it's a bad doctor's report or a bad whatever it is, immediately speak in your heart. Or if you are in your car, you can condemn that tongue, right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Beloved of God. Amen. All right, let's look at the next one. This is the thorn number two. Is called the deceitfulness of riches. Say deceitfulness of riches.
Deceitfulness of riches.
Notice that this thorn is not saying that a Christian is not supposed to be blessed, to be rich. God is not against a Christian to be successful in their business, to have plenty to give, to do good works. The problem here, the thorn, is not the riches. It is the deceitfulness of riches. Look at the pesticide. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That is the pesticide to handle the second thorn in the Arve locus called the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches has its root in a person's life when a person is no longer content with his life. The issue is not, I don't have enough money to provide for my family. That's not the issue. That's not the problem here. The problem here is the person is not content with his life. And as the result, the Arve locus comes to attack this person by giving them the deceitfulness of riches. If only I have more money, the quality of my life will improve. That is the deceitfulness of riches. Now listen, God is not against money. God wants us to be successful.
Yes.
This usually will affect Christian businessmen. If you are a businessman, you have your own business, especially, this will be likely the Arve thorns that you want to watch out for. Because the deceitfulness of riches can choke the word. Instead of you focusing on the word of God, you're focusing on the clients. Instead of focusing on the word of God, you're focusing on your business. God wants you to be successful in your business. God wants you to invest your money wisely so that you can get the best return on investment. That's not a problem. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be blessed. But He does not want you to be rich at the expense of your well-being. He does not want you to be rich at the expense of sleepless nights because you are so worried, oh, my sales has gone down. Your eyes are on the competitors. Your eyes are on the sales figures. Your eyes are not on the word. As the result, the word is choked. So this is usually affecting the businessman. Christian businessmen will be prone to this deceitfulness of riches. The second thorn in the Arve locus. The last one. This is the third thorn, okay? This is the third thorn of Arve, which is called the lust of other things. Now, here's where my sermon is getting into the PG-13 area, okay? This is a PG-13 sermon. So, I want to let you know, the word lust there is the English word concupiscence. It's the same word as in the English word concupiscence. This is not covet like, well, I want your nice car, or I want your nice house. This lust, all right, is sexual lust. That's it. And it probably will affect the men more than the women. All these three thorns are the natural desires that are supposed to be good. The cares of this world, if you don't care about how to provide for your family, remember the first thorn that we talked about? The cares of this world? You are worse than an infidel, the Bible says. It's a natural thing to figure out how I can, you know, make enough money, right? To support my children, my loved ones. But when the Arve locus makes it into a thorn that chokes the word, that's when it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The previous thorn, the deceitfulness of riches. Is God against you being rich? Is God against you being successful and having plenty? No! He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I want you to be blessed. But when those things are used by the Arve locust, by the sheer increasing number of those to create worries and cares to choke the word, that's when it becomes a problem. Now here, This is a problem here with lust, right? Remember, the first commandment that God gave man, be fruitful and multiply. It's like saying, look, enjoy intimate moment with your wife and have lots of children. Okay, that's like the first commandment, right? That God gave, be fruitful and multiply. So it's instinctive in the natural DNA, if you will, of a red-blooded man, all right, to desire, right, to have intimacy. It's a natural instinct. It's a natural desire. But the problem is, when the Arve locus comes in and take advantage of that natural desire to have intimacy, right, with your spouse, and then it blows it out of proportion to become lust, to become something that is uncontrollable. In fact, when you study this word, concupiscence, right, is a forbidden desire. So the more forbidden a lust is, the more exciting it will become. Then it can become like this Arve thorn locus that affects and put many Christians, especially men, in bondage because of the sexual lust that they do not know how to control. And you know what adds fuel to the fire? Is the preaching that is full of law. I would not have known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not lust. Look at the pesticides here, Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, Apostle Paul says. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the more we allow the law in our conscience to keep on saying, thou shalt not covet, the more sin is strengthened. Because the Bible says, the strength of sin is the law. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, I want to know the pesticides here, because this is a huge problem. Well, put more law. No, the law is going to cause it to be inflamed even more. What is the pesticide here, beloved of God? Here is the pesticide that the Lord wants us to know. Do you remember the story of the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery in the Bible? The law says she's supposed to be stoned to death. And everybody was getting ready to get a stone, right? To stone her to death. This woman was caught red-handed committing the sexual sin, right, of adultery. And then this is what Jesus said to those people who wanted to stone you, those people who wanted to condemn you because of your sexual lust, the devil, if you will, that wants to stone you. This is what Jesus said: whoever of you who has no sin, you can have the first right to cast your stone against her. One by one, starting with the oldest to the youngest, they all back off. Because everybody knows, when it comes to lust, it's not just the bodily, you know, adultery, the bodily act. In the mind, if a person has looked at a woman lustfully, the Bible says, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So everybody knows, Jesus put everybody on an equal ground, right? So you think you're holier than thou? You think that you are holier than that person? Okay, if you are without sin, you cast the first stone against this woman. The Bible says, one by one they left, until only Jesus and that woman. Imagine, we all are that woman. Because we all have sin, the Bible says, right? Imagine, it's just you and Jesus. You know you have sin. You know you have lust. She probably looked to the dust. She was too shameful to likely look at Jesus. She was expecting to be punished, to be condemned at any given moment now. Stones are about to be thrown at her. And Jesus stooped down and said, woman, where are your accusers. Has no one condemned you, woman? This is Jesus' question for you. Look around. Has anyone condemned you? And then the woman must be looking around. To her surprise, everybody had left. It's just her and Jesus. And immediately she said, "No one, Lord, Adonai." She immediately became a believer. Right on the spot, she calls Jesus Lord. And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you." Why can Jesus say, "Neither do I condemn you"? Because He was already condemned for our lust. Because Jesus already paid for that lust, for that sin. So He can say, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more." That is the pesticide to handle the third thorn from the arve locust, beloved of God, is to know that today, because Jesus was already condemned for you, He can love on you and give you this gift of no condemnation, even when you have lust in your thoughts. The gift of no condemnation is the pesticide to handle the arve locust, the third thorn, today. Amen, beloved of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen.
All the time. And all the time, God is so very, very good. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, the message of grace will not cause that woman to go and sin some more. Amen. Hallelujah. You notice in that story, immediately she calls Jesus Lord. Immediately she called Jesus Lord. Amen. So the pesticide against lust is not the law. It is to be dead to it. Dead to the condemnation of it. By receiving the gift of no condemnation, knowing Jesus was already condemned for all my lust. So that today I can go and sin no more. So that today I can live a life that is holy and victorious for the glory of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Arve locus, where is your sting? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus has taken care of these thorns, these three thorns of the arve locus, so that your harvest can be fruitful. Amen. So remember, what was the first thorn again? The cares of this world. What was the second thorn? The deceitfulness of riches. And what was the third thorn? The lust for other things. And the answer, beloved of God, again, is on the pesticides, what Jesus has done. Number one, don't be afraid, just believe, to take care of the cares of the issue. The deceitfulness of riches, remember, I want you to have the abundant blessings, but believe in God who wants to richly bless you, right?
Yeah.
Not you trying to earn something with your own power. And then what about the lust issue? Jesus has already given us the antidote. Be dead to the law, right? Be dead to the law. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the more you receive that love, the more you receive that grace in the midst of your lustful thoughts, the more you receive that gift of His grace and His acceptance, the more you can say like that woman, "Lord," the more you can go and sin no more. And should you fail again, He would still say the same thing. Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? No one, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more.